on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy.
Alrighty, guys. Happy New Year. Happy holidays, man. And welcome to another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined by my twin brother Andrew Robinson, man. And we are now in 2022, man. It's been a chaotic few weeks here in the college basketball season, man. A lot of teams going on pauses. You got, you know, obviously the turn of the new year. We got people allegedly leaving programs mid-season, man. There's been a lot of weird stuff going on in college basketball, man. But thankfully, man, we were, you know, we're turning the page, man, and into the new year. Now, obviously, we're heading into conference season, and there's been a bunch of games, you know, that are coming up that definitely are going to be exciting, man. And Drew and I obviously have revealed our week 9 rankings. Those are going to drop on Tuesday. So those of you that are tuning in today, we're getting a little sneak peek at those rankings that are going to drop on Tuesday, man. So we're going to run through those. Also going to recap a couple of huge games, namely Missouri State and Drake. Also, we got a huge interview with Penn State guard, a former friend of ours, Jaheim Cornwall. He's transferred from Gardner-Webb, all Big South last year. Was one of the best shooters on the market this season, man. He's now over at Penn State doing his thing, man. So we're going to have an interview with him later on in this episode, man. But before we get into all that, I want to remind you guys, as always, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you are tuning in, man. Give us a rating. Please, 5 stars only, man. Make sure you guys are engaging with our content on social media, man. Give us a retweet. Give us a favorite, man. And also, while we're at it, man, we got a new line from All Facts Merch. Make sure you guys are also copping that, man. The link is in our link tree on our Instagram and Twitter pages, man. So definitely go and check that out. We got us some nice merch for you guys, man. And last but not least, make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms, man. One of the hottest artists out of the DMV, man. But enough of my voice, man. I know you guys probably want to hear Drew, man. So Drew, how we doing today, bro?
Yeah, man, shoot, man, ain't gonna let me get in there. Sheesh, man, you know, I'm all right, man. You know, I'm over here currently in quarantine, man. One of my teammates tested positive for COVID, so, you know, been in lockdown for what feels like a lot longer than a week, but it's only been about, I think, 6 days, 7 days, something like that. You know, getting these jailhouse workouts here, a lot of push-ups, a lot of crunches, you know what I'm saying? So other than that, man, you know, just been catching up on a lot of basketball, man, you know. But happy New Year to everybody, you know. Glad to be back here in 2022 doing another episode of The Auto. But also, man, I mean, hey, you're talking about Jaheim Cornwall, talking about a former friend of ours. I mean, this guy's a current friend of ours, man. Since back in PSA, now we're excited to get you guys over to that interview in a little bit, man. But definitely got some funny stories, man, Putnam stories. Coach Espo story, shout out to my guys at PSA, man, Coach Grab, Coach Espo, the rest of the guys up in the northeast corner, Putnam, Connecticut. But, man, looking forward to another great episode today.
Yeah, man, I didn't realize that I called him a former friend, man. My bad to Jaheim, man. If you're tuning in to this, man, you already know we be locked in 4L, man, from the PSA hoops to the Jayhawk stories that everybody's going to hear later. And, you know what I'm saying, all forward, man. So definitely excited for that interview to get you guys to that later. But like I mentioned, man, we are going to give you guys a sneak peek at our rankings that are going to drop tomorrow, man. So we're going to go ahead and reel those off to you. Obviously, there weren't too many games over the past week, so not much has changed. The top 20, I would say, is probably the same as it was last week. But we do have some new entries and a little bit of movement at the back end of our poll. So without further ado, man, we're going to – our week 9 rankings are as follows, man. We got Colorado State at 1, followed by Little Chicago at 2, San Francisco at 3, Iona at 4, Belmont at 5, San Diego State at 6, BYU at 7, Ohio at 8, UAB at 9, Murray State 10, St. Mary's coming in at 11, Davidson at 12, St. Bonaventure 13, New Mexico State 14, James Madison 15, Grand Canyon 16, Wyoming 17, Louisiana Tech 18, Chattanooga 19, North Texas 20, Boise State 21, South Dakota State 22, Oakland, 23. Missouri State back in the poll at 24. And Monmouth rounds it out at 25. So, Drew, what are your biggest takeaways from our week nine mid-major rankings?
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, you know, there wasn't too much movement at the top, you know. So, but at the back end of our poll, I think, you know, the one thing that I was, you know, proud of is Boise State, man. You know, they're coming in right now. They've won seven games in a row. We just knocked off Fresno State, who obviously was a new entrant into our poll recently. And they also have a win over Washington State out of the Pac-12. And, I mean, I think they're just playing really well right now. This is a team that obviously, you know, a lot of people – we had very high expectations for coming into the season and kind of got off to kind of a bumpy start. But I think for me, man, it's good to see them playing basketball, you know, playing good basketball, excuse me, right now. As we're heading into the Mountain West, obviously they got their first Mountain West victory over Fresno State. But, you know, we're going to find out a lot about this Boise State team as they're going to get a matchup against Colorado State on January 8th. So, I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, obviously a huge, huge game, not only for Boise State, but for Colorado State, who is, as of right now, still undefeated, still the number one team in our poll. Shout out to those guys over there, man. But I think that's my biggest takeaway out of these rankings for this week.
Hey, man, I mean, I think you mentioned that game with Colorado State and Boise, man. That's going to be a scary game for Colorado State because, first of all, they're on a pause right now. So your first game coming off pause, heading to Boise State, is going to be a game that's going to be dangerous for them, man. I mean, I know – you know, not their first game because they're playing Air Force actually Monday night. They're playing Air Force Monday night, but then they're gonna see Boise on that Friday night game at 10:30. So your second game coming off a long pause prior to that, they hadn't played since December 11th. So you know you're taking essentially like 3 weeks off due to some COVID issues, man. You're gonna play Air Force, and then you're gonna get Boise State on the road, man. Definitely a tough draw for them, man. So obviously, you know, hopefully they can sneak past, you know, Air Force and get that win. But, you know, that Boise game is going to be tough, man. Boise's playing well. Obviously, they're extremely well coached. It's going to be definitely a good game to look forward to, man. And obviously, they're going to see Colorado State is going to see Utah State right after that, man. So a tough two-game stretch there for Colorado State, man. Luckily, they're going to get Utah State at home. So. Definitely something to look forward to, man. But also, obviously, Oakland's back in the poll, man. They were able to start the Horizon League play at 4-0, man. Obviously, they're a team that we have been in our poll for a good part of this season, man. And, you know, obviously with that win over Oklahoma State earlier in the year, that aged extremely well. They're now back in the poll, man. Obviously, they had a couple of losses there a few weeks ago to Bowling Green before going on a pause and then losing to Michigan State. But they bounced back well. Got a win over Robert Morris by 18. Obviously, Robert Morris in that first year in the Horizon League kind of feels weird saying that after they've been in the NEC for all those years. And then obviously they were able to get a win over Youngstown State that's moved them to 4-0 in the Horizon League, man. So they're back rolling, man, back playing games. And they're looking good, man. And obviously, you got Missouri State back in the poll at 24, man, after they were able to get a win over Drake, man. Thing about that game, man, I think, you know, for the Missouri Valley, you know, I mean, before the year, people were talking about, you know, could we potentially get a three-bid Valley this year, you know, with, I think, Drake and Loyola Chicago and, you know, potentially Northern Iowa, who people thought were going to be good. And obviously, that take has aged not very well. Northern Iowa definitely, you know, off to a slow start, say the least. They're 5-7. They're below 500 this year, 1-1 in the Missouri Valley, man. So, to say the least, that pipe dream is over with. But I think, you know, now we're looking at potentially a one-bid Valley if Loyola Chicago comes out of this thing, man. And obviously, they're currently on pause dealing with their issue. They haven't played since December the 10th. So their next game is not scheduled till the 5th against Illinois State, man. So they're going to be almost a month without a basketball game here when they suit up against Illinois State. So hopefully that game can get played, man. They're going to travel to Illinois State as of right now. It's still a go. But you look at Missouri State, 10-5, Drake, 10-5. Obviously, Drake had that tough go down there at the ESPN showcase in Orlando where they lost three straight games. So, I mean, I think at this point, man, Missouri Valley is looking like a one-bid league, man. And kind of like a lot of other leagues around the country, man, with, you know, the A-10. And obviously, we talked about the ACC being down and obviously, the American League with Houston and the injuries to Marcus Sasser and everything that's going on in that program, man. I mean, that conference with Memphis, obviously having an up and down season, man. There's going to be a lot of bids up to grab in other leagues like the Mountain West. I think is trending up right now. Obviously, with, you know, Boise State obviously Colorado State, San Diego State, Wyoming. You know, so I think we're going to have a year where, you know, that league potentially be in a position to get, you know, more bids than they had in a normal year because of, you know, the ineptitude of a lot of the other leagues.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot, man. I mean, first, you know, as far as Colorado State goes, man, I mean, shoot, like I said, I'm in quarantine right now, man, trying to do as many push-ups and mountain climbers and burpees as I can. But, you know, there's only so much you could do, you know, when you're on lockdown, man. And you can't make up for the basketball aspect of it, man. Touching a basketball, shooting a basketball, and then the cardio aspect. So, you know, granted, they're going to, like you said, they're going to get kind of a tune-up game, if you will, against Air Force. But even in that second game back, you know, it's more about rhythm than it is about anything else. You know, when you're off for this long, you know, your rhythm is definitely going to be effective for a Colorado State team that hadn't taken a loss all season. You know, top 20 team in the nation, you know, right now. So, I mean, that's the first thing.
Even that Air Force game, though, Air Force coming off a win over Utah State. So, like, they're no slouch. Like they just beat Utah State, obviously, to close 2021 out with a win. So, if Colorado State thinks they're just going to walk in and beat Air Force, they got another thing coming. Obviously, Colorado State is a better team than Utah State. But, you know, they're more than capable, man, coming in at 8-4. So, you know, that definitely a game that you can't just walk into, especially off of a pause when you haven't played basketball in 3 weeks.
No, for sure. I mean, we've seen what happened to Baylor last year, and they came off of that pause. You know, it took them a while to kind of get back going and get back in that rhythm. You know, obviously they went on to finish the season incredibly strong, win national championship. But when they came off of that pause, it weren't the same team, man. But, you know, when I look at this Drake and Missouri State, you know, game yesterday, obviously that was a big game, you know, for the Valley. And Missouri State was able to, you know, obviously win that game by 5 points. But one thing I want to highlight, man, I mean, Drake was 1-for-16 from the 3-point line and 20-for-58 from the field, good for 34.5%. You know, and one thing that we do know about Drake is that, you know, they're a high pulling offense. I mean, coming in on the year, they're averaging 75.5 points per game. You know, normally they're a team that shoots 37% from three, which is great. You know, 45.5% from the field. You know, so they, I mean, essentially had one of their worst shooting games of the entire year. Man, you go 1-for-16 from three, you're on the road at Missouri State, and you only lose by 5 points. You know, so granted, like you mentioned, Drake did go off to that tough, not necessarily a start, but down there in Disney losing three in a row. And they did lose this game to Missouri State, you know, not taking anything away from Missouri State, you know. But when you're Drake, man, and you look at this game, you're on the road, you lose by 5 points after shooting the way they did, you know, I think that you can take some positives away from that situation, you know, going forward, man. I think that this is a game, you know, when Missouri State has to come to Drake, this is a game that I think Drake is going to be chomping at the bit to kind of put up a better performance, man. But, yeah, as far as Missouri State, you know, Gage Prem went for a double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. Don McClay also contributed 15 points and 7 rebounds. I mean, this is a team that's driven by their front court guys. I mean, they're only going to go as far as those guys take them, man. But, you know, as of right now, I will say this. I think that Loyola Chicago is the overwhelming favorite in the Missouri Valley and deservingly so. But I would not count Drake out just yet because, like I said, they're going to be able to put points on the board. And I don't know too many games that they're going to go 1-for-16 from the three-point line.
You know, I think, you know, if you're the Valley, you're pulling for Drake to kind of get back on their horse here and hopefully, you know, upset, you know, Loyola Chicago in the Missouri Valley tournament so you can get two bids. Because other than that, man, it's looking slow for Drake, definitely for Missouri State. I mean, for Drake right now, their best win is probably Richmond, who we know obviously isn't, you know, I mean, Richmond is definitely a good team. Preseason-wise, they had some good expectations, and they're going to have opportunity to do some things in the A-10 play. But if that's your best win, you know, it's going to be tough for you to get at large, especially with 5 losses, even with the bubble as soft as it is this year. So, you know, they're definitely still a very capable team, man. They're, you know, returning a lot from last season, you know, including our guy Darnell Brody, who is also a PSA Hoops alum. Shout out to PSA again, man. If you haven't noticed, it's going to be a theme on this podcast, man. You know, there's a bunch of PSA Hoops guys out here thriving. I was actually seeing a tweet this weekend that said we have 42 alums playing Division I basketball, which is the most of any school in the country, man. So, I mean, Putnam Science Academy, man, powerhouse. We're going to have one of the alums on our podcast later on. I think it's a pretty good segue to go ahead and toss that interview, you know, with Jaheim Cornwall. So without further ado, man, we want to get you guys over to this interview with Jaheim Cornwall, Penn State guard, former New York Jayhawks guard and also former Putnam Science Academy guard, man. So enjoy this interview, and we'll be right back after.
All righty, guys, as promised, we are joined by Penn State point guard Jaheim Cornwall. And this is a special guest we have today, man, because not only is Jaheim a Penn State guy, but he's also a former Putnam Science Academy guy. Me and my brother obviously went there back in 2015. Jaheim went there the year after us and played a couple years up there in Connecticut. But this is obviously, a good friend of ours, man. It's been an honor and a pleasure, man, to watch you and just obviously through your journey at Gardner Webb and now to Penn State, man. So definitely, man, shout out to you for coming on today.
Appreciate it, man. Anytime, man. I got to support my guys, man. Sports free. That's what I live by.
No doubt, man. So we're going to get right into it, man. Obviously, for those who don't know, man, like I said, you came a long way, out of New York. Started off his college career at Gardner Webb, and obviously now you're at Penn State, man. But, you were a guy who, kind of was an unheralded guy coming out of – I remember at Putnam Science Academy, man, talking to Scrab about you. And, kind of had to scratch and claw your way, obviously, to the Division I level, and now you're playing in the Big Ten, man. Talk to us about just your journey, man, just coming from New York, making a D1, and then kind of what brought you to Penn State, where you are now.
Coming from New York, obviously a state like that, like basketball in New York is gritty. It's like real tough. You can't just hop on the court and just expect everything to go smooth. You got to be ready to fight at any time. And then going to D1, I had a couple like low major offers after my first year. Me being who I am, just not, settling for less. I went back for a post-grad, see if I could get some more offers and just ready to compete. And then Scrab told me about Gardner Webb. He's like, yeah, man, it's a really good program down south. They love how you play, and they want you to be their guy. I was like, all right, I could look into him. I went on a visit there. I met with the coaches. It was pretty cool. Then they came to me. They came to Brooklyn. I'm like, they're trying to do an in-house visit? I'm like, nah, I never had a coach, meet in-house visit, like a college coach too. And they came, they showed me a lot of the clips and stuff and like how they wanted me like in the offense. And I was just like, man, like they got that kind of like family feel, like sort of like Putnam has. So I was like, man, I'm a rock with y'all. And then it was sealed from there. And then like, I stayed there 4 years. A lot of people was telling me, like, after my junior year, like, yeah, you should probably transfer and try to go somewhere else. But, me being who I am, like, I was like, nah, man, I can't do that. Like, I already put in enough time with them, and it'll feel like wrong to just, get up and leave. So, finished out my senior year. Didn't end so well, but, I had some individual accomplishments. Made a couple more, family members down there. And then I had the decision to make to, either go overseas or go back to college. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try, I'm going to transfer into the portal, see what I can get. And then I get a call from Coach Shrewsbury. He's like, yeah, I'm out here in Penn State now. We're looking for a guard. Sort of in your play style, a guard that could, make plays with the ball, off the ball, and, a guard that can shoot. And then he showed me a couple of clips where, where they had the offense and like where he wanted me to be at. And I was just like, man, I got that family feel again. Like it's time to feel real comfortable. And it was a done deal from there.
Now you mentioned obviously your time at Gardner Webb and the decision obviously not to transfer. While you really had the opportunity to play with Jose Perez, who's also a PSA guy, Kareem Reed, also a PSA guy. Now I don't know if you went to PSA with Kareem, but obviously last year you were first team All Big South. I mean, talk a little bit about what that was like, man. Had an opportunity to play with those guys down there, and then just to put together the career that you were able to there.
Honestly, when they brought up Jose, I was like, I don't know him. Like, with the pun of size, he's like, yeah, that's where we got him from. I was like, man, if y'all don't get him, man, you're doing something wrong, man. I'm doing something wrong. But then he came up for a visit, and he's like, yo, like, how is it down here? I'm like, if you do right, like, they're going to let you go. They're going to let you do whatever you want on the court. They're going to let you play a game. And he watched one of our games, and he saw me go crazy. So he's like, all right, man, like, shoot, I'm going to come here next year, and we're going to do our thing. And then came through, did our thing, ended up winning the championship that year. Came back again, and then we did the same thing with Reem. Reem was like, yo, how's it down there? Like, what's the word? I'm like, honestly, if you do the right things, you play a game, they're going to let you play a game, bro. They're going to put the ball in your hands. They're going to let you do you. And look at him now.
That's love, man. I mean, you touched on it a little bit, man, but, you know, that NCAA tournament run that you guys had in 2019, where obviously you guys won the Big South and then got a chance to match up against North Carolina, man. Talk to me about just that season, what the emotions were like, you know, winning the tournament. And then, you know, just walking through that game, man, versus North Carolina, and just what the emotions were like, you know, playing in March Madness against, you know, one of the Blue Bloods.
We played against North Carolina this season, and the tournament we played against Virginia.
Okay. I remember that. Matter of fact, that year they won it all, right?
They won the whole thing. Man. I was like, dang. But first, North Carolina, we played them. That was like one of our like first games in the season. Going into that, honestly, it's like one of those dream moments. Like, you step on the court, you're like, man, I can't believe like I'm here right now. We go on a shoot around. You see all the jerseys up there. You see MJ jerseys. You see a bunch of players. You're like, dang, like the whole building is just like, it's a legendary place. And you're like, man, I can't believe I'm here right now. And like, we actually about to play them too against a legendary coach. You just get fired up. And when we got to the game, man, like that energy just carries on like every single like possession, every single time out. We're like, yo, we here right now. Like, we could be doing anything in the world right now, but we're here playing against one of the best teams in college basketball. Like, well, what else would you rather be doing on TV? Like, let's go make a name for ourselves. Let's go get it. End up coming up short, but you know, that made everybody like realize like who we was as a team.
Yeah. And then walk me through that game against Virginia in the tournament, man. Like, what was that game like? I mean, going against them that year and then just making it to March Madness in the first place, that run through the Big South tourney.
After winning the tournament, you know, Selection Sunday coming, we realized we get matched up with Virginia. And we excited. Then we realized, like, Virginia lost in the first round last year. So, they're not just any team, you know. They can be beat if you prepare the right way and you go out there and execute. But then we realized another thing, too. Like, they lost last year, so they're not trying to lose again in the first round. When we put our foot down, we got to keep it down. We got to stay disciplined and, you know, keep fighting throughout the whole thing. First half, we was up 15. And, you know, I just remember us going to the locker room, like some dudes is hyped, like, yeah, let's do it. And, like, a couple of us is like, yo, like, that was probably, like, our best, like, basketball right there. We only up 15. If we think we about to just go up 20, like, no, they're going to come back and they're going to punch us right in the mouth, like, from the start. And as soon as the second half started, that's exactly what they did. They locked down defensively. They got open shots, transition shots. It was getting to the line. They was picking us apart. And I'm just remembering, like, we were just talking, like, man, like, if we just had, like, a little bit more discipline in halftime and locked into, like, our game plan, we probably would have came out with a win. It could have been less than 5 or 5 points. We still would have ended up with a win, but I just remember my people's back home saying, like, man, I saw you on TV playing against Virginia. I was just like, yeah. It would have been nice to win it, but they took the whole thing. I was like, damn.
Hey, man, at least they won it all, you know what I'm saying? If they'd have beat y'all and then lost the next game, they'd have been like, damn. But at least they wouldn't win it all. So you can really get a consolation prize in that. I want to ask you, man, obviously you mentioned your commitment to Penn State earlier, man. Obviously, entering the portal, I'm sure you had a bunch of options, you know, a bunch of schools hitting you up. What about Penn State made you want to say, all right, you know, this is where I want to be for my last year of college basketball?
I had a conversation with a cousin of mine. He was just like, if you was to transfer and, like, go to a different school, like, what like, league would you want to play in? I was just like, honestly, like, me being who I am, like, I want to challenge myself, so I'm going to want to play in one of, like, the biggest leagues. I was like, either the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Pac-12. Like, those – I just put out those leagues. And I just remember, like, going through my recruitment, I was just checking off the list, like, teams like that fit those leagues. And it was Penn State, Big Ten, Pitt was ACC, Georgia was SEC. I didn't get any Pac-12, like, offers, but – then I was just kind of like weighing out like you know, the pros and the cons of, like, you know, going to each school. I was like, Penn State probably, like, it's the closest to home, too. So, you know, my peoples can make it up, and I get a lot of support, you know, feedback from there. But also, I wanted to play for a coach that, like, he had that NBA connection, that NBA experience. And Shrewsbury, he just came, like, before he was with the Celtics, he's at Purdue. Then he went to the Celtics, and then he came back to Penn State. So I was like, man, that's just everything I'm looking for. And, like, he could just help me out, you know, elevate my game to the next level. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and sign with them.
Yep. Now, obviously, you know, you came to Penn State via the portal, but you weren't the only one that came, man. Penn State is made up of, you know, a bunch of guys. You know, obviously, Jalen Pickett, who played in the MAC with me and Ace for 2 years, I believe. Yourself, coming from Gardner Webb. Jelani White, another MAC guy, you know, from Canisius. And then you guys even have a guy, Sam Sessoms, who didn't come this year, but another, you know, Binghamton guy, you know, coming from a mid-major school, man. Talk about kind of the makeup of your team, man. What it's like playing with a bunch of guys who are coming from lower mid-majors that have a chip on their shoulder, man, and now y'all are all playing in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about when we first got here, too. Like, we all came from mid-majors, so we kind of know what it takes to play at a high level. Like, we got to challenge each other every day in practice, even workouts. Like, we got to hold ourselves to a higher standard. It's like some of these dudes, they started off at a higher level, so they just, you know, they just relaxing, you know, they think everything is like, man, I've been here already. Like no, nah, we got to come in here, like, pushing each other, make each other better, and hold each other accountable. Like, when we call each other out, like, holding each other accountable, don't take it personal, you know, just take it from, like, I want you to get better so that you can challenge me. And now we both going at it every day, and we just getting better and better from there.
Now, you mentioned Coach Shrewsbury earlier. Obviously, he has, you know, his Purdue ties and the Celtics ties for 5 years. And before that, he was with Brad Stevens at Butler and coaching the two national title games. You know what I'm saying? I mean, talk about a little bit about, you know, what's it like playing for him. I know when me and Drew were at Cobbin, our assistant coach actually coached with the Maine Red Claws for a little bit, which is obviously in the Celtics G League organization. So we were running a bunch of NBA-type sets and defenses and whatnot. I mean, you know, talk a little bit about the basketball aspect of that. Has he kind of, you know, brought any of the principles from the Celtics time and, you know, just the type of guy that he is as a coach playing for him this year?
Coach Shrews, he's one of those guys that, like, he coaches strictly, like, winning basketball. He doesn't care about anything outside of winning. So, like, our practices, like, if we bullshitting around in practice, like, we're going to be in there till we get it right. You know, like, he's showing us film, and he's like, hey, this is where you got to be in this spot. If you're not in this spot, it's never going to work out for us, you know? Like, he calling us out on, like, where to be at, like how to play, like, within each other, like, in the game and keep the ball moving. Like, I ain't gonna lie, one time he drove a play in the game. He's like, yo, if you come up the screen, you hit here, you swing quick, and you don't throw it in there, it's going to be a wide open layup. And, like, we all like, what? Like, huh? Like, he was like, all right, we're just going to run the play. We ran the play. It was just a wide open play. We're like, man, this dude know what he's talking about. Like, he understands the game. And then, like, when he was showing me, like, when he recruited me, he was showing me the offense and stuff like that. He literally showed me a bunch of Celtics, like, offense plays, like, single, double, like, offensive sets. He's like, hey, with your type of guy, like, when you come off these, you get downhill, you get right to your pull-up, or you get downhill, you got the dump up right to the big, or he on the screen, you stop right behind it, you shoot, like this is what I want you to do. And I was just like, man, like you could see, like, the difference in, like, coaches from, you know, a guy that came from the NBA and, you know, at the high levels of college basketball and, like, a mid-major coach.
Now, for you, man, what would you say has been the biggest adjustment from, you know, playing at the mid-major level to now? You know, you had two games now in the Big Ten against Ohio State and Michigan State. What would you say, you know, has been the biggest adjustment thus far?
Definitely the physical aspect of it. Like, the Big Ten, like, every team got, like, a big man either, like, 6'8", 250, or, like, 7 feet tall and, like, 230. So it's like when you get like those mixed matches where you gotta box a dude out like that, like, you can't just be like, oh man, like, he gonna get this rebound. Like, nah, they're not accepting that. They want you to go and hit him like early, and then you gotta battle with him, try to not let them get the rebound. And you know, that's been like every game, honestly, like, even not in the Big Ten, like even like outside the schedule, like schools like that, like you just got to fight like constantly. And then like the mental aspect of doing that, doing your job of getting back on defense and still being able to lock into like what we doing offensively and defensively, like every day, every single day, it's just, it's like a big adjustment.
Now, obviously, you know, you're a guy, and watching you over the years at Garner-Webb, you are able to shoot the ball at a high clip. You shot over 40% in all three of your last 3 years at Garner-Webb, but you also kind of thrives in the mid-range, shooting a lot of pull-ups, coming off ball screen, things like that. I mean, how if at all, have you kind of adjusted your game to you know, playing this year at Penn State, or you know, how you see your kind of role in the basketball court? Has that kind of evolved from last year to this year?
From last year, honestly, like, the game was like much slower, you know, obviously being a senior playing at that level for a long time, like you get to slow the game down a lot, especially with the ball in, you get to slow the game down a lot and kind of pick apart defenses and, you know, get guys open shots, you know, get to your shot and, you know, kind of take control of the game. This year it's like the pace is a lot faster. Like you can definitely tell it's a lot faster. So, you know, when you're coming off certain ball screens, you kind of got, like, a little less time to, you know, get to your pull-up or, you know, attack. And honestly, like, I had a talk with my peoples back home, and he's just like, lately you just been looking like you kind of, like, a step behind. And he's like, just try to pick out those little moments where you come off screens and just be ready to shoot or just be ready to attack downhill and, you know, just think the game a little bit faster. And I'm like, I started doing that, and, like, you start seeing a lot of things open up, like the dumb down, little floater, you know, layups at the rim, you know, one dribble drop kick, a lot of stuff like that open up when you start to, like, you know, think a lot faster at this level.
Now, obviously, you guys are, you know, getting ready to get into the thick of the Big Ten schedule once you guys return to play. You got Indiana on January 2nd, Northwestern January 6th, and you got a matchup against Purdue on January 8th. So, you know, three, you know, really big and really important games. When you look at you guys right now and when you look at the rest of the Big Ten, what do you think you guys as a team have to do to be able to compete in a league where you have, you know, a team like Purdue and Michigan State is playing really well right now, and Michigan was in the league last year, to be able to kind of push yourselves, you know, in competition with the rest of those, you know, heavy hitters in the Big Ten?
Honestly, we gotta play harder than them. We gotta, like, max their intensity on defense. We gotta keep them off the glass, and offensively, we just got to share the ball and just get good shots. We talk a lot about, you know, going up against teams that, you know, are like heavy and, you know, big men. When they crash the glass really hard, we emphasize on like boxing out, you know, keeping them to, you know, one shot per possession. And then getting out in transition and just getting easy shots. I think like in this league, for like, we're kind of like undersized too in the Big Ten. So we just got to be scrappy. We got to be, you know, savvy out there on the defensive end and then just holding teams to one shot and then, you know, playing hard on both ends of the floor, getting good shots, getting open shots, playing fast and, you know, just getting out in transition. And that's how we're going to compete against them.
Obviously, you know, this is the second year in a row that COVID has kind of taken a hold of the season. Last year, obviously, it was a big deal. You know, last year, everybody was in their little bubbles and no fans. And this year, we were going strong for about a month there. And then, you know, recently, you know, the COVID bug kind of hit again. You guys haven't played since December 11th. It's been almost, 3 weeks at this point, I think, since you guys have played. I mean, what's that been like kind of dealing with that again in college for your last year, man? And, you know, what have you guys been trying to do to kind of stay out the way as much as possible?
So last year we got shut down right before we played Duke. Garner-Webb, we were supposed to play Duke. We got shut down 2 weeks. Obviously frustrating, you know, your senior year, you're trying to play against one of the biggest schools in college basketball. It's frustrating, honestly, to get shut down, you know, miss games because, you know, what else would you rather be doing? You know, you'd rather be playing basketball or, you know, in a room just quarantining for, 10 to 14 days. And then this year, like, we just tried to, like, you know, stay within our group, in our team, just trying to not let a lot of, like, outside things, like, you know, come in and, you know, infect our group. But, you know, it's harder when, you know, people, like, family or, you know, from all around, you know, people traveling home and stuff like that. You know, it's kind of like you could get it from anywhere. You know, you never know where you could get it from. You know, we could play a game and, you know, one team never shows any symptoms or something like that, and then we play them, and now look, now we got hit with COVID. You know, we never know. So we just try to, like, stay within our bubble and, you know, stay out of the way.
Now, one thing, man, I can remember back, you know, when I was in college, man, my playing days, man, was over Christmas break and around this time where there's no classes. All them hours and restrictions for practice went out the window because, well, nobody on campus. And plus, now not only do you have that because it's break, but also you guys have been on a pause for forever. So y'all not doing nothing but practicing right now. So walk me through what a typical day is like for you guys, man, or what these past couple of days, weeks have been like for you guys in the trenches.
All right, so we got back. I got back Sunday. Sunday at like 3. Went right to practice at 4. The next day, we had practice at 10 a.m. We went from 10 to 12, had a little break, had lift at 3:30, practice at 4. The very next day, 9 a.m. practice, went from 9 to like 12 again, had a little break, come back at 4 for lift, practice at 5. And then ever since then, it's just been 2 days, 10 a.m. to 12, and then come back 4:30 to 7 a.m., bro. These hours, like, we was just talking in the locker room, like I know we over 15 hours. You're supposed to get 15 hours a week. Like, we've been past 15 hours. We passed that on the first 2 days.
We might got to call Mark Emmer, you know what I'm saying? Make sure that, you know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, we might got to edit this part of the podcast out so that we don't get anybody any violations, you know what I'm saying? We can't have Coach Shrewsbury his first year getting any infractions for NCAA, you know what I'm saying, man?
Bro, I'm telling you, during break, them rules that go out the window. There's no rules for practice during the break. Oh. You can practice as long as you want.
We was just talking, like, as a team, like, yo, we need to talk to Coach, man. We need to get off our feet for a minute. Yo, I get in the cold tub like twice a day for like 20 minutes. Every minute. I just got home, bro. Practice ended like at like 5 something. We was in there from 1 o'clock. We lifted at 12:30, 1 o'clock practice. Practice ended at 5 o'clock. And he said, this is going to be our recovery day. You know, we're going to use the day to, you know, get our body back, get our legs back, da-da-da. I'm like, man, I don't believe none of that.
And the whole kill, if they're going to give you an off day, they're going to be like, yeah, you got voluntary shooting or voluntary living. On your behind, like, yo, what's up? Messing around, don't come to a voluntary lift. Now you got to run for you. Can you come to a voluntary lift?
They're like, why you ain't show up to the shoot around? Why you ain't show up to the voluntary workout? You said it was voluntary, man.
I'm tired. Look, I remember we used to be, you know, we used to be in that joint counting, like, how many hours have you been? And look, I remember back in the day, I don't know if I did this in years, like, on the web or during the semester, but, like, we used to have somebody sign off on the practice hours to make sure they was correct. See, but, hey, man, we ain't signing this week, man, because they went way over them hours this week.
On the web, like, in the beginning of the season, we already knew, like, them 4 or 5 hour practices was coming. And they'll come back.
5 hour practices, excuse me?
Yeah, bro. Like, we'll be in practice from like 2:30 and get out at like 7 something.
Oh no.
I used to be like, yo, bro. Yo, coach, man. Like, what's up? Like, we've been in here all day, basically. We've been here all day. Like, tomorrow, can we just go a little bit less? Like, well, 2:15, you know, an hour and a half. They're like, man, we just got to get better. We got to get better. I'm like, I understand that. How are we going to get better if we don't got no legs? You know, like, our bodies is killing us. We're just going to get worse and worse. Like,
man, listen, maybe that's why we didn't go to the tournament. Maybe we want to practice longer. Because we were going there like 2, maybe 3. Quinnipiac was like 2, maybe 3. At Coppin, we was going 1.5 hours.
45.
Back. We was out of there.
I'm telling you, Our first 2 years was crazy with Coach Moore. But then after that, it was sweet.
But nah, man, I mean, too, we talked about, you know, all the agonizing stuff, man. But obviously, Penn State, you know, y'all in that Big Ten, you know what I'm saying? I know you guys got some NIL opportunities. Obviously, there's a big football school as well, you know what I'm saying? I know you guys probably got a chance to go to some football games off season. I mean, what's been the best part that you kind of been able to experience in your first few months there?
Obviously, coming from a smaller school is just like the campus here. Like, everyone here kind of like, you know, coming like from a big school, everybody know who you are, like just coming in. Like my first few days here, like I got a lot of people coming up to me like, hey man, like we can't wait for the season to start. You know, we can't wait to see how good you guys are going to be. You know, we just, you know, we're going to be cheering for you. So, you know, good luck out there. And then I'm going to a football game. I'm like, man, I can't wait to see what this is like. Man, stadium packed out, you know, everybody wearing white. You like, man, this thing like an NFL game. Like, I can't believe this is like the school I'm at now. And then you still got people, you know, coming up to you during the games like, yo, y'all Penn State men basketball. Like, oh, come on to the field. Like, come on to the field while they warming up. We like, yo, we really on the field right now. Like, you see dudes that's about to get drafted playing, like, warming up. You like, yo, this is different. It's crazy. And then, like, our first few months, like, working out-wise, man, weight room is a big difference at this level, man. We lift like hour and a half, bro. Hour and a half. I'm like, I ain't never lifted over 45 minutes. My hour and a half is from 6 to like 7 something and in the morning. And then like our coach here, like he played football. So we'll start lifting, we'll lift heavy. And then he'll be like, all right, let's go out to the track. Oh, let's go to the football field. Like, what's out there? Like, what we doing out there? He talking about some, man, grab the track ball, walk around the track 2 times. You like, what? We get to the football field. He like, yeah, let's go run the steps, like run the stadium. You like, yo, this is crazy, man. I'm like, damn, this is what high major like?
Yo, bro, man. That's love, man. I mean, too, man, I definitely want to ask you, though, man. Obviously, you know, taking a couple steps back, man. Take me back to those PSA days, man. I mean, you know, obviously me and Ace, man, you know, I'm always going to say that our Putnam team was the best team, you know what I'm saying? Me, him. We had young Hami, you know, prime Mamadou, you know what I'm saying? My guy Josh Wallace, Keelan Ives, you know. But talk to me about your team, man, at Putnam. You know, what do you remember about those days, man? And kind of just looking back, man, you ever have – you know, just the moment was like, dang, man, like, you know, my team was really crazy or whatever it may be, practice moments or just moments, you know, walking to a Price Chopper or whatever it may be.
Oh, the chopper.
Yo, I remember just like towards like the end of my first year, I was like, man, like this year, I thought this year was going to be like way harder, but it was easy to me because it was me, Chuba, Saul, Hami, and Mamadou starting. I was like, man, I'm averaging a double-double every game just off of, like, regular motion passes. Like, you remember the motion? You come over the court, you hit the trail four, man. I got Saul turning around the four. And he feel like he open. He's shooting it right away. Yes. So that's, like, 4 or 5 assists right there. We start the game off with a lob play to Mamadou. I'm like, that's another assist right there.
Every time.
I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And then all I got to do is spot up, catch, and shoot. Everybody else going to drive and create. I'm going to drive and create. And, like, my job is really easy here. So all I got to do is play defense, make the easy play, and then we're going to win games. And we won. I remember them saying, like, throughout the course of, like, the 2 years, like, I only had, like, a couple losses and, like, probably, like, 80-some wins. I was like, man, I don't even remember that. But, shoot, that's pretty impressive. I'm definitely going with my group over y'all.
Hey, man, I was having this debate on Twitter the other day with Danny Upchurch. He was the year before me and Drew and them was there when they had like Dalik and Ant Durham and all them boys. So I mean, it's always gonna be a debate. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, if y'all ever want, man, we can go to PSA and we can run 5. But we got Hami though. You know what I'm saying? Look. Y'all go ahead take Saul. You know what I'm saying? He was the first one to run with us. You know what I'm saying, man?
Yeah.
But hey, man, before we let you go, man, we gotta get a funny Espo and Scrab story or a funny PSA moment, man. We need one before we get off. And then after this, I got one more question for you before we get off.
All right, I got one Espo moment. We playing against Commonwealth. It's the first game of the season. You know, my second year at Putnam. We down like, what, like nine. He come in there. You already know Espo heated. He come in there, loosen the tie up. He like, man, what the, what are we doing? Like, you out here throwing up balls. You out here playing around lollygagging. Like, what are we doing? He flipped the table. Yo, he flipped the table, man. I'm in the front row. I'm chilling right here. He flipped the table in my direction. It come like this close to my knee. I'm like, yo, if that would have hit me, I would have been done for the rest of the game. I would have been out of here, bro. I'm like, yo, it was dumb close to my knee. I'm like, yo, we suck, bro. We be losing the Commonwealth and no Hassan. Like, what is this?
Nah, that is nuts, man. I mean, I remember from my 1 year, man, we had some crazy games, man. I mean, we went on the road at Brewster when they had Donovan Mitchell, Jalen Adams, mm-hmm. Justin Simon, David Crisp. Crazy game. I remember how like 25 that game. We almost upset them. We played Hargrave and down in Virginia and in National Prep Showcase. We played IMG when they had Jaquan Lyle. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of just crazy, crazy games, man. We played at Tune when they had Terrence Mann and them boys. For you, man, I think my favorite game was definitely that Brewster game, though, because we should have upset them that year at Brewster. Take me through, like, if you can remember, man, one game where it was like, yo, this is my favorite game. Like, a game that just sticks out in your memory, man, from the time at PSA.
Definitely. We played in the Thanksgiving tournament in the gym. What gym was that? Down in
talking about Albertus Magus in New Haven?
Yeah. We played against – our first game was against Sunrise Christian. And I just remember us being down at half, like, 10. I probably had five in the first half. And, like, something just clicked for me at halftime. Like, yo, like, everybody playing bad. Like, it's up to me. Like, I'm about to just go out here and just play. And then, and like, as soon as, like, the second half started, like, I just remember, like, coming on ball screens, just making every right play, like, bucket here, a dime here, you know, getting a steal, oh, outlet pass, a dunk. And we go up, like, 15. I'm like, man, I got to do this every game. Like, I can't be playing around like this. I'm like, all right, let me turn up a little bit more. And I remember just chasing down, like, they had a fast break. I remember just chasing down the guard, just tipping the ball loose and then diving on the floor. And then, like, after the game, like, the dude from Courtside Films was like, yo, we got some clips of you, da-da-da, and, like, you know, and just put it out there. And that's actually the video that helped me get recruited, too. So that was definitely one of my favorite games.
I think we might have been at that game, man. I think I remember them playing something like that, bro.
Yeah, we probably was. We was at Quinnipiac at the time. We used to come to see them all the time. Right. My last question for you, man. Now, I know we shared a Putnam experience, but me and you also shared one experience. We both played for Jay Davis with the Jayhawks. Now, I only played for one tournament. And the one tournament I played for the Jayhawks, it was me, Hami, Mama, Dondre, Keelan, bro. We went to Atlantic City. Bro, he got us two hotel rooms. So it's all five of us in one hotel room. We got two beds. Bro, this man, we had played somebody. I forgot who he played, but we came back to the hotel. Man took us to Domino's, bro. He got two pieces, bro, for the whole team, bro, after the game. I was like, yo, what's up with this man? Like, no. Mama ain't want to share that. So Keelan and Hami shared that. I had this little chair situation, Joe. Mm-hmm. Mom had his own bed. My man put Dondre on the floor, bro. Wilding, bro. Yeah. So before we get off, we need one funny Jay Davis story, man. We need one for the culture. All
right, man. Jay Davis, that's my guy too. But man, I think this is my first year playing for them. We in Virginia playing in Boo Williams. We just lost. We just lost to Team Loaded, Dennis Smith and Bam, and we on the way back. And I just remember being in the back of the van. I'm just hearing, you know, Hami and what's his name, Emmanuel, going at it. Tall 7 foot dude, Emmanuel. I'm like, let me just lock in and what's going on right now. They going at it like, yo, like back up from me, like moves, like stop touching me, da da da. Emmanuel, like, what you gonna do, like if I keep touching you? And see, you know, I see Hami grab something in the headlock. You know, he bit me. Man, he bit him. I'm like, what? Yo, Jay David driving. We on the highway, bro. Like, this man just swerving, like trying to stop the fight, drive. I'm like, yo, like you driving, bro. Like, man, he pull over. He come in the back, like, yo, what are y'all doing right now? Like, what are y'all doing? Matter of fact, everybody give me y'all phones. I'm like, what? Like, how we get to that point, man? Like, what? Man, I remember Javi like, yo, I'm not giving you my phone, bro. Like, I'm not giving you my phone. He like, oh, you don't give me your phone? Okay. Wait till we get back to the hotel. I'm roommates with Javi mom dude, so when you get back to the room, he like, yo, I'm gonna need everybody else to get out, Javi, you stay. Man, that's just like 15 minutes later, he like, all right, y'all good. We come back to the room, we like, yo, what happened? He was like, yo, bro, we was just fighting for like 10 minutes straight. Yo, I was like, nah, what? I was getting it. I'm like, yo. Like, yo, what's up with this thing, man? This is crazy, bro.
Hey, that's man time, though. That's man time.
Yeah, like, and you know them two, like, they went back, like, way back, so. I was like, damn, that's your man's dope, so.
Facts. Nah, that's jokes, man. Shoot, man. It's definitely been a lot of fun, man. Definitely is always great to reminisce, man. And definitely going to be watching you if you're at Penn State, man, when you guys getting in the Big Ten play, man. Like I said, definitely extremely proud to see, first of all, you know, watching you from Putnam to Gardner Webb to becoming a champion, getting to the tournament, and now, you know, playing at the highest level of basketball, man. It's definitely been amazing to see, man. And definitely want to give you a shout-out for coming on today, man. Definitely been a lot of fun, man. And, you know, we're definitely going to definitely do this again, man, sometime, and stay in touch for sure.
Yes, sir. Let me know, man. Let me know. I'm always supporting, man. I'm always supporting. Support is free.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, my guy.
All right, guys, that was Jaheim Cornwall, man. Hey, listen, Drew, man, you haven't had that luxury to experience the tournament with Jay Davis, man, but that dude is absolutely hilarious, man. Them New York Jayhawk tournaments, man, are a lot of fun, man. And so I definitely want to shout out to my guy, Jay, man. Definitely appreciate him for giving me the opportunity to come play with them for that tournament, man, because I think me and Drew were playing with the D.C. Warriors, and Drew was over in Vegas, you know, with T. Mello that weekend, having a great time, man. I had the opportunity to go and do some early bonding with my PSA Hoops guy. So definitely shout out to Jay, man. He's one of the best guys in the business, man, outside of a basketball coach, man. Just giving the opportunity for a lot of those guys in New York, man, to be able to come and play high-level basketball, man, and play for a guy that truly, you know, wants to win and truly cares about the kids, man. And there are a few guys out here, man, that can say that they care about their kids more than Jay, man. Even if, you know, on the road, he wants to be a little cheap at time, man. But he knows it's all love, man. So definitely want to give my guy Jay some love, man. One of the realest out here in this AAU world, man.
No, for sure, man. Definitely, yeah. I've had a couple of encounters with Jay, obviously, at PSA, man, and always was a stand-up guy, man. So shout out to him, man. Hey, man, but can't be – I hope now in 2022 you're getting guys a little bit better than two Domino's pizzas, man. I mean, that's crazy, Jay. Do better than that, man. But one thing, man, that we didn't get to talk to Jaheim about, man, that I have to mention, you know, while we're talking about Putnam Science Academy, while we're talking about the New York Jayhawks, you know, we're talking about Hamidou Diallo, man, but, I mean, this dude's been on an absolute tear in the NBA. I mean, his last three games, man, I mean, 34 points, 13 rebounds, 5 steals, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 5 steals, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. I mean, he's a guy that right now is taking advantage of the opportunity. A lot of these guys, you know, Kate Cunningham, Jeremy Grant's out. And, I mean, he's getting the time to shine in Detroit. I mean, him and Sadiq Bey and Luka Garza are essentially Detroit's big three, man. I'm watching that game the other night versus San Antonio Spurs, man, and Hami's getting a big dunk down the stretch. Obviously, Sadiq Bey made the game winner. Luka has a huge double-double in 2014, man. But just looking back on that time at PSA with Hami, man, just seeing – how far he's come, you know, now, man. So, I mean, you, I don't care who you are. I don't care who on the court. You in the league and you averaging 31 points per game, 10, 11 rebounds, whatever he's averaging right now, you special. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of guys who, no matter how many minutes you play, who's on the court couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just crazy, man, to see where he's come from Putnam and the Jayhawks to where he's at now, man. I mean, truly letting the world see what he's capable of.
You know, for sure, baby. Look, one thing, man, you know about Hami, man, is that dude is a confident dude, man, and he's going to get them shots up regardless. I mean, that dude is probably the most confident player that I've ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and people try to fight him all the time. Oh, he's just athletic, or, you know, he's not a great shooter. Oh, he's not a great ball handler. Well, look, to him, he's the best shooter, best ball handler. I mean, we all see Ant Edwards hilarious all the time. If it's a ball in the game, he's the best at it. And I'm sure that Tommy has the same mentality, man. But what he's doing is extremely special, man. And you know, you can mention the guys that are out, you know, and you know, the minutes that he's playing, man. But, you know, like you said, man, you got to put the ball in the hoop, man. To be able to do it the way that he's doing it, man, is extremely special, man. So definitely always proud of Tommy, man, and definitely crazy to see how far he's come, man, from them days down that PSA hoops when he didn't have a D1 offer, man. And now, obviously, slam dunk champions, played with multiple all-stars and Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and Paul George and obviously Jandy Grant, and you know, the list goes on and on, man. So extremely proud of him for what he's been able to do in the NBA, man. Excited to see where he goes from here.
Now for sure, man. It's crazy that people say, oh, he's not that skilled. I don't care what you say about his jump shot. In order to score 34 points in the league, you got to be skilled, because you got to get to the basket somehow. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, man, we all play basketball, man. You play basketball at a high level. Obviously, you know, we both play with Jaime and play at the highest level, man. Like, there's scouting reports. And I know for a fact in the league, there's scouting reports are saying Hamidou Diallo is coming to the basket.
Driver.
and for them to know that the other team knows you're coming to the basket, and they still can't stop you from getting there, you know? You have to have a tremendous level of skill for that, man. So I think it just – you know, like I said, man, I mean, it's not much you can say, you know, about the kid, man. Like I said, I'm excited to see what he's doing right now, man. And I know Jaheim is as well, man. You know, two New York guys, man, who spend a lot of time together, obviously, you know, growing up and AAU trips and advanced and things like that, man. So, gotta shout out my guy Jaime, man, and shout out, you know, to Putnam Times Academy, man, for the things that, you know, we're all doing in all walks of life, man, from Division I basketball to NBA basketball to overseas to my guy Ace killing it in the media game right now, man. I mean, real well-rounded, man, you know, so definitely could not get up the podcast without talking about that.
Not for sure, man. And last one on Jaime, man, obviously, we know he's a driver, man, but even, you know, in three of his last four games, you know, he's shooting 50% from three. I mean, I think he's 2-for-4, 1-for-2, 1-for-2, and 0-for-4 in the most recent game. So his jumper is at least respectable at this point in time. You know, so obviously it's not, you know, automatic by any means, but you have to at least respect it enough to the point where he does get to the line. And he obviously great at drawing fouls, man. Obviously shot 8-for-9 from the foul line, you know, last game too, man. But, you know, also you know, just saying that to kind of put a bow on that chapter, man. But without further ado, man, it's time for our favorite segment of the week. And that is the craziest thing we saw, man. This is a college basketball podcast. We all know this. But here's one thing that happened this weekend that had the entire sports world, the entire pop culture world, the entire world, honestly, just in awe. And that was what happened with Antonio Brown on Sunday in that Buccaneers football game, man. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you probably have. If you're watching this podcast, you're probably a sports junkie, which means you probably know what happened with Antonio Brown. But if you didn't, allegedly what happened was this dude got into it with Bruce Arians, because obviously, you know, we know Antonio Brown has a few bonuses built into his contract. I think he needed like one more touchdown. I want to say it was like 8 more receptions, and I want to say it might have been like 55 more receiving yards in order to get a bonus. And so in this game, I guess he hadn't been on the field very much. So he took a disliking to that. And I guess Bruce Arians had tried to get him to go into the game on a number of occasions, and he would not go into the game. I guess he was upset at the way that he was being used in that game. So Bruce Arians then tells Antonio Brown to kick rocks and to go into the locker room. And so Antonio Brown, as only Antonio Brown can do, obliges. He said, you know what? I'll raise you one. And he starts taking off his shoulder pads, takes off his shirt, takes off his gloves, throws them into the stand, throws his shirt into the stands, proceeds to run down to the end zone, shirtless, waves to the crowd, throws the deuces up, chucks deuces on his way out of the tunnel while the teams are on the field, and he runs into the tunnel, man. And after the game, obviously, Bruce Arians said that he is no longer Tampa Bay Buccaneer. He wished him well, and Antonio Brown was seen trying to get an Uber you know, while the Buccaneers were playing, man, eventually made it home and posted a series of posts on his Instagram page. But, you know, hey, Antonio Brown could have very well played his last down of NFL football, you know. Hope it's not, but that was definitely the wildest thing that I saw this week, man. And even though we're a college basketball podcast, man, I definitely had to talk about AB and his latest incident in the NFL.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was definitely something, man. Like, I've heard a lot of, we've heard a lot of stories about, why he did it, the incentives. But this is one story that I heard actually this morning from Ian Rappaport. I think he works for NFL.com. He's an NFL reporter. And he reported that, from his sources that apparently, obviously, we all know AB has been dealing with, injuries over the past couple of weeks. I believe he had an ankle injury is what he was battling. He didn't practice on Thursday, didn't practice on Friday. And what Ian Rappaport said was that apparently AB did not feel like his ankle was at the point where he could go in the game. And allegedly, this is what Ian Rappaport reported, was that allegedly Bruce Arians and the rest of the Tampa Bay coach staff approached him and said, hey, like, time to go, like, get in the game. Like, we need you to sub in. And AB was like, I don't feel like my ankle's ready to go. Like, I'm not subbing in. And Bruce Arians then proceeded to say, well, if you can't sub in the game and you can't play, then we have no need for you here. Like, we have no need for you. Like, you can go, essentially. Like, you're not a member of this team. If you're not going to check in when we tell you, then you're not going to be a member of this team. And we'll be better. Well, that's not going to be a member of this team because I ain't checking in. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, man, nonetheless, the act of what he did was nuts, the antics, the shoulder pads, the waving of the arms that he's going up the field. But giving him the benefit of the doubt, if that is true, if that story is in fact true, because like I said, I mean, Ace, we've had many debates about AB. I'm not an Antonio Brown fan. I'm not an AB fan. I think his antics are just a little bit wild. And things that he's done in Pittsburgh and with the Oakland Raiders and New England and so on and so forth. But if that story is true, and if in fact the Buccaneers were trying to make him play when he wasn't fully ready to play, man, I'm like, maybe he does have some leeway, or not even leeway, but I can understand why that might make you upset. Because, like, I ain't going in the game if I help me, bro. This is my body. This is my, my body is my temple. And y'all trying to make me go out here and play on a bum ankle, I ain't doing it. You know what I'm saying? And then they're going to kick him on the team. It's like, all right, well, if I'm off the team now, I guess I'm going to make it a spectacle. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. Like I said, that's not my source. That's Ian Rappaport. Y'all can go check it out. He tweeted it out this morning, gave the whole rundown. But I don't know, man. AB is a strange guy, nonetheless.
Yeah, man. Look, I'm definitely going to check out that reporting, man. But nonetheless, man, I do hope that, I would love to see AB back in the NFL, man. I mean, we know the talent that he is. I mean, you obviously argue about this numerous times. Not that I love AB because I'm a Ravens fan, and he torched us and tormented us for years when he was with Pittsburgh, which is why I have the respect for him that I do, because people be trying to play with him like he's just a regular receiver. Like, this dude won, in my opinion, best receiver in the NFL for a stretch of 3-4 years there, like, in Pittsburgh. Nonetheless, man, I hope that, that he gets some help, man, and that, hopefully, we haven't seen the last of him in the NFL, man, because that dude is special talent, man. A lot of people have gone out of their way to put their necks out on the line for him, namely, obviously, his quarterback, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians. So hopefully that man can get some help. And, we've seen if the NFL is a league where they'll give you third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth chances. I mean, we've seen Josh Gordon just got another contract after his – I don't know how many times that he's been in rehab and whatnot. This dude keeps on getting signed. So if he can get a contract, I'm holding out hope that Antonio Brown can damn sure get a contract if, obviously, things check out.
And look, hey, listen, man, this is just me talking. I don't have any sources. I don't have any intuition. I'm just saying, the Dallas Cowboys clearly have no morals when it comes to who they sign. Randy Gregory and the name. Listen, I can name a million guys suited for Jerry Jones and those criminals over in Dallas. But they just lost Gallup to a season-ending ACL injury. So they might be in the market for a receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I mean, I wouldn't put
– That would be the most Dallas Cowboys thing in the history of the Dallas Cowboys.
I wouldn't put it past Jay Jones to call and be like, hey, man, we lost a receiver. Amari Cooper's been hurt all year. I have him in fantasy. He's been underwhelming the whole year because he's been out. Then he had COVID. And it's like inconsistent. And we all know Dallas, oh, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We got Zeke and Dak and blah, blah, blah. This is prime Jerry time to make a phone call to AB and say, you know what? Come over here, finish season. We're in the NFC. Tampa's in the NFC. We can see them in the playoffs and give them a big FU. How does this sound?
Hey, man. That'd be sick. That'll be sick. That'll be very wild. That'll be very wild. I don't know if Dallas wants to bring him into that equation though, because they got something good going on right now. But obviously, they lost Arizona last night, but their receiving core, even without Gallup, obviously still got CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper's back, and obviously Cedric Wilson has been really good for them last year, really good for them all year this season. So you know, their receiving core is definitely not barren, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, man. But that would be the most Dallas Cowboys thing in the history of the Dallas Cowboys if that were to go down, man. So we'll see. I don't even know what the rules are in terms of signing, and because it's really late in the season. I don't know if you can even sign anybody right now. Can you? I don't know what the rules are.
Pretty sure you can. I don't think there's a rule against it. I don't think so. I thought people pick up guys. I remember a couple years ago, the Chiefs picked up Terrell Suggs right before the playoffs started. You know, he was like, I don't know how he did it, but they did it. You know, he ended up obviously winning the ring that year, but I don't know. I'm not sure what the rules are, but I think it was the word of the way.
Hey, listen, we'll see, man. Definitely something to keep an eye on, man. But last but not least, man, we got a few games that are happening this weekend, man, that I want to run you through, man. It's going to be a really good weekend for mid-major basketball, man, but there are a few games that are sticking out to me, so I'm going to give you my top three from this weekend, man. Obviously, The big one is Gonzaga and San Francisco, man. Gonzaga is obviously the overwhelming favorite in the WCC, man. But San Francisco, obviously, is currently number three team in our poll, man. Off to a great start. Jamari Bouye is an absolute star for them. He's been outstanding all season for San Francisco, man. They're going to get their first crack at Gonzaga, man. Unfortunately, this game is going to be in Spokane, and we know Gonzaga is almost impossible to beat in Spokane, so I'm not predicting an upset by any stretch of the imagination. But for San Francisco, man, you're coming in at 13-1, only losses on the road to Grand Canyon, man, and this is their first, you know, real test since then, man, so I know they're going to be pumped up to play Gonzaga. That's going to be a Thursday game at 9 p.m. Huge game for WCC, man, so definitely going to be looking forward to that matchup on Thursday night. Also, huge matchup out of the NEC, man. I mean, the two preseason favorites, last year's Conference Player of the Year, Alex Morales, the preseason Player of the Year, and Peter Kiss, the two teams that are picked at the top of the poll this year. I mean, this is going to be an absolute showdown. Bryant and Wagner. Bryant's going to go on the road to Wagner Thursday at 7 p.m. This is going to be must-see TV this week, man. So definitely looking forward to that matchup, man. And both of those teams are teams that, you know, if they win the league, man, they're extremely talented, man. Obviously, we mentioned Alex Morales, who we had on our podcast last year. If you want to go check out that interview, man. Peter Kiss, obviously former teammate of Drew and I at Quinnipiac, and both of those guys are absolutely outstanding, man. Charles Pride, another PSA Hoops alumni, is having a great year over at Bryant, man. And they're going to ask – those two teams are the favorites, man. I mean, we've got a lot of people that said Bryant's the favorite. Got people that said Ryan's the favorite, man. So that's going to be a very important matchup in the NEC for the potential tiebreaker scenarios down the line, man. And we had a huge game in the MAC that was postponed, man, to you know, my chagrin, man. Definitely broke my heart, man, because we were going to get Iona and Monmouth this Sunday, man. And that game ended up getting canceled because of COVID issues within – Monmouth's program, so that's a big loss for the MAC. Hopefully, they can get that game rescheduled. But nonetheless, Iona's going to travel to St. Peter's on Friday. And obviously, St. Peter's is not a team that's in our poll. They're not a team that's ranked or anything like that. Obviously, Iona is. They're currently fourth in our rankings. But I highlight this game because St. Peter's is a team that has kind of been a little underwhelming this season, man. They haven't really, you know, played their best basketball. They're coming in at 3-6 on the season, man. But they are an extremely talented team, man. They got Casey Nadefo, obviously the reigning man defensive player of the year, and the portal has some high major offers. But you know, whatever reason, ended up coming back to St. Peter's. Excuse me. Extremely well coached. Rashad Holloway over there, man. The game is at St. Peter's. Now they have a new arena. They built a new gym over there in Jersey City, man, at the Yantelli Center. They gave it a little facelift. So it isn't the Yantelli Center of old that Drew and I played in, which was an absolute dungeon and the worst place to play in the MAC by far. But nonetheless, still a hard place to play in Jersey City, man. St. Peter's plays extremely hard, extremely well coached. So I'm on here on the record putting Iona on upset alert in that game in Jersey City on Friday. That's definitely going to be a game that I'm looking for in the MAC, man, because St. Peter's is going to be looking to get a signature win in MAC play, man. And I think they might get one coming this weekend against Iona.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember a time when we had our guy Sean Paul on here, man. He said Iona was going to go 20-0 in the MAC, man. And I mean, literally the first MAC game that Iona plays, you know, they're literally at home versus Marist and squeak by 3, 69-66. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had to get, you know, obviously Tyson Jolly went off for 18 points. I mean, they had five guys in double figures. But, I mean, like I said, Marist is 6-6, a 500 team. You know, they're not nothing special. And you're at home, you would think you would have some juice first MAC game of the year, man. And they squeaked by 3 well, points. You know, so
they had beaten Marist, so they were 2-0. They had beaten Marist early on the road. They struggled in that game versus Marist. They won 78-71.
In those early MAC games.
In December. And then they got him again, and Marist almost beat him at their crib, man. So, obviously, they are 3-0 in the MAC, but, you know, two squeakers against Marist, and then they blew out Ryder 80-54. They're at 3-0, man, but definitely they're not going undefeated, so I'm actually going to see
some. No talk. I mean, I'm going to say, if you're getting 3-point wins over Marist at home, you're not going undefeated in the MAC. It's just not happening.
Yeah, man. So, hey, man, that game was going to be one that I'm watching, man. You heard here on the record right here. I think Iona is going to go down to St. Peter's. I think it's time that Patino and his squad get a little bit of humble juice. I'm upset that not gonna get to see Monmouth, man. Cause Monmouth, I know they were extremely pumped to play them. And hopefully, Matt can get that game rescheduled. Cause I know our guy G Pat is chomping at the bit to see those boys from New Rochelle.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, no, they're for sure gonna reschedule that game. One, cause I mean that game has to get played at some point or another. But two, I mean, those are two best teams. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure King Rice and Patino aren't gonna be ducking no smoke. You know what I mean? Granted, I think Monmouth is off the at large. Category. I don't think they're going to play for at-large right now. But, you know, I know for a Monmouth team who's played well in the non-conference, you know, they played very well. Obviously, they're on our poll, top 25 mid-major team in the country, man. And it would do a lot for their postseason hopes and for the confidence of that team, you know, to get a win over Iona. Obviously, you know, the regular season champs last year, Iona ended up winning the tournament, man. But it's not a team that lacks any confidence, you know, and buying her trust in the imagination. So I know, obviously, if they were able to get that game, if they were able to beat Iona, that would be a huge, huge game for Monmouth and their confidence going forward. So nonetheless, man, definitely some big-time MAC games. I don't know if I'm going upset. I do think Iona's going to get done over St. Peter's. I don't see them losing that game. But, you know, stranger things have happened in the MAC. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Definitely will, man. But this has been a fun episode, man, and hope you guys enjoyed the interview with our guy Jaheim, man. Thanks to him again. Thanks to you guys for tuning in, man. It's been another episode of the Auto Bid. As always, make sure that you guys are liking our podcast, subscribing, giving us a rating, please, 5 stars only. Tell a friend about the Auto Bid, man. If you see us on social media, interact with our content, man. Give us a retweet, give us a Twitter comment to our give us a comment if you see a tweet, man. We'd love to go back and forth with you guys about our rankings or about anything that we put out, man. Definitely goes a long way, man. And also, as always, make sure you guys are streaming. My guy put up Tay's music, his new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms. And without further ado, man, get your merch, baby. Get your merch, man. Come shop with us. Link is in our bio, man, on our Instagram and Twitter pages. So click that link. Get yourself some nice merch for the holiday season, man. And like I said, man, I got to pull up today. You got to take us out with some music. Until next time, folks.
Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You on the sideline. You ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. On me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. Yeah, yeah. I don't bet. Let's go. What's the topic of discussion? Look. Take.